Hamza Youssef ending his agreement with the Greens is a disaster for Scotland. I've always been against it being run by a minority. I'm Harriet Langley Swindon, and this is Non-Censored. Hello and welcome to Non-Censored, the podcast that wraps up all the best bits from my very real daily radio show into one easy-to-digest highlights package. I'm not joined, as ever, by my producer, Martin, who has had to go on some mandatory retraining after, well, you'll hear why. So it's up to me to remind you that we have a live show coming up on the 20th of June at the Museum of Comedy in London. We'll be joined live by a range of guests, including Lee Anderson. So pop along to the link in the show notes and get your tickets ASAP. And if you're one of our patrons and you buy a ticket, we'll refund a month's subscription for you. So get along to patreon.com/noncensored and sign up to get ad-free episodes, early access and exclusive bonus podcasts for just a few pounds a month. But on to this week, and there was so much we couldn't fit into the show. For example, we were going to cover Labour's plan to renationalise the railways and how it would be an absolute disaster, but the segment was delayed and delayed, and eventually we just cancelled it. So instead, let's start with the horses that rampaged around London earlier this week. We got an exclusive interview with the person at the heart of the story. Let's take a listen. Very excited to say we have one of the horse guards on the line now who can tell us everything that's been going on with these runaway horses. Hello.
Hello, you're talking to me? Hello?
Yes.
Is that me?
Yes.
I'm not a horse guard, actually. I'm a horse. I'm one of the horses.
You're one of the horses.
Yep, you'll be hearing this straight from the horse's mouth.
that's very good.
Yeah.
I didn't even realise horses could talk. So this is I'll be honest with you.
I think let's not focus on that too much, Harry. I just got sent straight through to the military stable, so I think this is actually still a pretty good source to get our information from. So
what do we call you, Mr. Horse, or do you have a name?
Just a horse. We're quite an egalitarian lot.
Okay, so we
don't really bother with names. It's just, you know, the horse you're speaking to is the horse you're speaking to, you know, solidarity with the horses.
Right. Yeah. Okay. I see. Well, horse, thank you for coming and talking to us today.
A horse. Thank you.
We should flag up. This is you're a military horse as well, so not just a normal civilian horse. You've been through the training. You have presumably, possibly, well, yes, seen the trenches.
Well, no, there's not much use for horses in the trenches. If anything, it makes it more dangerous for you to ride a horse if you're in a trench because your head sticks over the top. So most horses are not put into the trenches.
You'd need very deep trenches, I suppose.
Well, and then it's just hard. Look, the fact is, it's quite hard to get a horse down into the trench. You need a winch. We're moving off track, I think, of this.
Right. Okay. I mean, it was more of a turn of phrase. Yeah. So that's all I was doing there.
This is my second language, so I'm not too.
You're wonderful. Okay, you really are.
Yes, we appreciate
you wouldn't
that.
Know.
And you wouldn't know at all. You speak English very fluently.
Thank you.
Better than most of our guests. It's a little...
For that. No, I'm sure they're just nervous from being on... No, don't. That's not nice.
I wasn't. I didn't mean to...
Producer Martin.
They listen.
Now, a horse. Let's get to it. I think what everybody wants to know is
let's saddle up.
Yes. Okay, that's very good. Yes. All right. Okay, let's keep those to a minimum, though. So I think what we want to know is, why did you run?
Right. Well, it's not because I was scared. I want to make that pretty clear. There's been rumours going around that I heard some building noise and I thought, oh no, I'm scared of people doing home improvements. I'm not scared of building noises. I'm a tough northern horse from Blythe.
Mm.
And I was not scared. I was never scared. That's the main thing.
You were never scared.
I was never scared.
You were a little bit scared?
I'm a brave horse.
Oh.
I'm a brave horse.
I think even brave people and horses presumably do get scared sometimes, and that's when the bravery comes in. So if you did get a little spooked, for example, I hear that's something that happens to horses. Sometimes people spook you.
What?
Yeah,
you know, spooky?
The horse was spooked, is what they say.
I wasn't spooked. I wasn't spooked. I just wanted a run. I was getting it all antsy. I had a member of the military industrial complex on my back. You know,
he does
kicking me with his little feet, moving me with that thing he's tied around my neck, and I thought, oh, you know what? I want to dance. I want to be free. And so I flung him off. I think he was all right, and I went off for a boogie down the streets of London, here, there, and everywhere. Ba da 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 da.
Okay, yeah, I understand. That's sorry, no. Yes, sorry, Mr. Horse. For legal reasons, we can't sing the Fratellis. We just need to. That's gonna bring us into.
Yeah, it's legally. We've got in trouble with them before. It's not worth it.
Yeah.
All right. I wouldn't want to upset the Fratellis.
No one does. They're quite vicious, actually.
Right.
In our experience, but so you're telling us that it was a sort of a bid for freedom and a sort of freedom to dance, sort of Billy Elliot.
I wanted to dance. I was dancing when I was five, and now that I'm. You see, they don't let you do much dressage in the military, and that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to express myself. I wanted to be able to move in more than one direction. You know, it's natural for a horse to move in an L shape, and I'm just never allowed. I'm always going forward and backwards. I wanted to get my L shapes all over London, and you know, I enjoyed it. I don't regret it. I had a great time. I spooked a bus. That bus was bloody scared of me. And a taxi, I spooked that. I saw all the sights. I saw Big Ben. I saw the London Eye. Didn't go on it. Have you seen the prices? Absolutely ridiculous. And then I trotted along to Limehouse, which is obviously a very majestic location. That's where I was.
Right.
Finally.
So, a horse. Are you telling us that? So you did all that, and you weren't. You never got scared. I mean, that must be a lot of people, a lot of traffic.
Have you
were never
it?
A bit.
No, I don't. Scared? I wasn't scared. Stop suggesting. I was not scared.
I'm just doing my job as an interviewer.
I'm big. I'm like a big dog. And dogs don't get. You know, I'm like a big dog.
No. Okay.
I'm a horse,
Mr. Horse. We know.
It got four
we
legs.
Know about horses.
I've got metal on the end of my hand.
Okay.
I've got metal
Mr. Horse.
To the end of my hand. You think I
That's
get scared
impressive.
Of a builder
Please.
Putting in probably an extension or like, oh, I'm going to do some tiling. Oh, I'm going to drill through so I can put some floating shelves on the walls and put a vase on them. No, I'm not scared of that. I'm not.
No, I'm just suggesting
Mr. Horse.
That maybe you got a bit, you know, you got a bit afraid.
I didn't get scared.
Harriet, I don't think this is a good line to continue on. Mr. Horse, we're not saying you were scared, and we're quite aware of what a horse is. We've seen pictures. We know of your work, okay? I think what the world really wants to know is what did you learn from this? You know, is this something that might happen again? Is this the start of something? Was it a protest? In a way, and a comment on you know the current political climate.
Is it a protest to want a little dance?
Well, you know,
in
some
political climate, yes, actually,
yes.
It's not. We don't like it. It's not on.
Well,
the government rightly tried to lock up an old lady for holding up a sign. So I think dancing is just the next stage up, isn't it? Especially horse dancing, that to me seems that's a bit aggressive to me. I don't know. I don't want to see that.
You do, yeah. Well, then I guess it was a protest. Then, yeah, because I wanted a little dance. I wanted the man off me back. It was a protest against.
Yeah,
that
this is very much protest talk.
Yeah, I'm afraid a horse. I'm going to get our little runner lady to call the police.
Well, no, I mean, he already works for the military, so I imagine there's some kind of, you know, some kind of legal internal legal system going on there.
I've got to say, I don't think I can be arrested. I've not heard of a horse be tried in a human court system.
They used to do that in the Middle Ages, where in lots of ways life was a lot better. They did used to try horses and cats, actually. So
Well, I'm bigger than a cat. I'm much bigger than a cat.
Do you know what? I will give that to you. You are bigger than a cat.
Mr. Horse, another question I have here is about the rights to the story. Of course, there's been a lot of media attention. Are you being courted by Hollywood for the rights to the movie? Is there anyone that you'd like to see play you in the story of your dancing down the streets of London?
Right, yeah, thanks for asking. So I've got to write the book first so that they can option the life rights. So I've got to write the book. Now, this is quite hard for a horse. Holding the pen is very tricky. It's difficult. I can try it in my mouth, but even then, the precision is difficult. So it's trying to learn to clasp a pen between my two front hooves.
Well, you can,
I always wondered why horses hadn't written many books, and here we go. This is what it is.
You could make a very big typewriter, I guess.
I mean, it just goes to show, doesn't it? We need to cater to all, really.
If it feels like you could just have a ghostwriter,
I must say for.
Thank you.
A ghostwriter.
I don't mean to spook you. No, not in a spooky way.
I'm not going to get scared just because you say the word ghost. Ghost, what's going on? Who has been spreading?
You need to calm down.
Has
don't
a horse
be scared.
Been spreading these rumours about me? Because word a horse says. He lies. I'm not scared.
Is it when you say a horse, is that you or is that the other horse that
I think he's talking about another horse.
The other horses, we're all called a horse, so it's difficult to differentiate between us. But a horse, yes, that's one of the other horses. The horse I'm talking about is one of the horses who didn't run. And he's been going on like, oh, I'm much braver than you. I can hear drilling and not run away and get all spooked. And I said, wasn't spooked. I just wanted to dance. I wasn't spooked.
Yeah.
I just wanted to dance. And I danced. Boy, did I dance. You should have seen me dance. Oh.
Right. Well, of course, it's been illuminating. I think before you go,
God! Oh!
You all right?
Oh, is that okay? What?
No, that's fine.
Did you get a bit?
My shadow moved across the floor in a way I was not expecting because the light was moved behind me. But I want to make it clear. I did not get spooked by that.
You got spooked.
No, that was singing. That was horse singing. I wanted to sing.
We're going to stop it now. I can't deal with this.
Is that another Fratelli song?
I don't think that's on this show ever again, producer Martin.
I wasn't intentional.
I've got some great pitches for a feature. I've got a really good one. Here is for horses and people when I sort of talk about the Hare Festival.
I don't want any of this. No, producer Martin, cut it off now.
I am quite interested, but yes, thank you, a horse.
Now, because of his obvious error in the booking there, producer Martin didn't want to include it in the podcast. And I said, producer Martin, it already went out. There's nothing you can do to stop people finding out about your incompetence. It'd be like, tying up the horse that charged around London after the horse had charged around London. Anyway, moving on. And Ishan Akbar stopped by to give me a hot and spicy takeaway about lovely, lovely booze. Let's take a listen.
Hello, Ishan.
Hello, Harriet. How are you?
I am absolutely fabulous, thank you. I'm having a really good time. I had a lovely night last night. We had a good few many drinks. It was very good. Fun was had by all. We played charades and we threw our keys into the bowl. How are you?
Yes, I'm very well. And actually, I'm very excited that you said you had a few drinks yesterday, because have I got a lovely hot and spicy takeaway for you today?
Well, please, pray, do tell.
Well, the World Health Organization, and I know a lot of people listening may feel like this is not a legitimate organization, but nevertheless, let's take them at face value. They released a report where they were analyzing from across the world smoking, alcohol usage, vaping amongst young people. And it turns out England, God's own country, came out top for the number of children drinking alcohol.
Oh my goodness.
It's not.
Oh my goodness. Is it because they're all confused about their gender?
Well, no, I mean, it didn't go into the reasons as to why they were doing it, but the report said a third of 11-year-olds and more than half of 13-year-olds in England have drunk alcohol, putting it top of the 44 countries they looked at.
Right.
And girls were found to be more likely than boys to be getting drunk aged 15
in
England, Wales and Scotland.
So we've basically got little football louts. That's what we're creating, right?
Well, I wouldn't call them football louts. I think it's quite nice that younger people are getting drunk, because, you know, you and I, we're both of what generation are we? Are we geriatric millennials? Is that what they call us?
We're not geriatric, no.
Right. Okay. What are we?
Young millennials.
Young millennials. Can I ask? I
yes.
know it's good to ask a lady, Harriet, but how old are you?
Ishan, that's an incredibly rude thing. You don't ask a woman that, as you know. I'm 28.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Plus another 20 years. And I know that post our generation, there were a lot of reports that suggested that young people, they weren't drinking as much or partaking in narcotics usage, which, of course, you've never, ever, ever done, and having less sexual intercourse. So this report, actually, I found quite heartening, that 11 to 15-year-olds are actually ruddy enjoying themselves.
Well, do you know what? I hear you to an extent. I think the generation below us are incredibly dull and incredibly boring. Mm. But also, I mean, I don't know. A few nights ago, I was going back on the train from the theatre, and there were these little drunken children, and they just kept talking at us, and they were so loud. She sort of pointed, she liked my coat. She poured at it. It was disgusting. You know, I don't want that. I don't want these disgusting, drunken little children interrupting my journeys home, you know,
what
late at
night. What theatre show did you go to watch?
The Woman in White.
The Woman in White, right. And how come there were so many children on the train going home?
They were on the train. I don't know why. They were all there. Probably going to see, I don't know, Harry Potter. It's just disgusting.
So would you rather there were fewer drunk children on trains? Is that what you'd prefer?
Yes, I don't want the drunk children around. They're horrible.
So how about this as a potential suggestion? Perhaps we have more Muslim children.
Right.
Get more Muslim children. Because Muslims famously don't drink, do they?
Hmm?
So if Muslim children aren't drinking, we won't have drunken kids on trains, will we? Just have Muslim kids on trains.
No, I don't think so, Ishan.
Why?
I don't think that's a good
Why
idea.
Why is that not a good idea? Because Muslims are very disciplined and they do not drink alcohol and their children do not drink alcohol, and you could have these teenagers not drinking alcohol and ruining your journey back.
Well, I just think, you know, no offence to the Muslims. They're very lovely people, I'm sure. But I don't think they should. I think if there's too many Muslim children on trains, that's ruining our train
right,
culture.
Right, and why is that ruining our train culture? Because I don't think the Saudis have a problem in their train culture.
Well, there's our train culture is, you know, it's having a G&T, a cheeky G&T on the train. And it's taking the Lord's name in vain on the train, you know, and it's sort of sitting around, not being Muslim. You know, these is our that's
okay,
our culture.
So that's, you want to,
and I think
you want to protect the sanctuary.
I just want to protect our culture. You know, it's going, and we don't
so
want
do you
it
want
to go.
Does that mean then part of our culture is having 11 to 15 year olds actually drinking on the trains? Is that what we're saying?
Well, maybe I was too harsh on the drinking children.
Okay.
Maybe, I mean, you know, yes, two of them vomited as I tried to leave. But I suppose that's British, isn't it, in a way?
Okay, that's interesting. How do you feel about the fact that so many more girls are getting drunk than boys? Because you are of the, you were a girl once.
Well, you're right, I am, some would say I still am. Well, I think these women need to sort themselves out a bit, don't they? Mm. Don't they? I mean, we all like a good drink, you know, and sometimes we all end up in bed with the wrong husband. But it's, you've got to do that responsibly, you know. Yes. You've got to take responsibility. And these little 11-year-old girls getting drunk, sorry, sort yourselves out or we'll send you off. We'll send you packing. I think they should all be sent to military school.
Or why not just introduce them to Islam?
Oh, no.
Which is what?
Ishan, you're putting me in a very difficult position here. I see what you're saying, but you can't introduce them to Islam because what about Christianity?
Yeah, but Christianity, famously, they encourage you to drink wine in church. That's where it comes from. You know, communion, drink the blood of Christ.
Yes, but then you can settle your stomach with a little wafer.
Yes. Okay. Well,
yes, you see, you don't know that because you don't know about the Christian faith like I do.
They're the pink wafers.
I think you're trying to be clever and I don't appreciate it.
Well,
look, okay, let's do a compromise. We can have, I don't mind, a few more Muslim children. That's fine. Can a few more of them? It'll level it all out a bit. But they can't take, they have to sort of sit next to someone holding a G&T.
Right, OK. So a few more Muslim children, get them on the trains, but there'll be slightly fewer non-Muslim children and drinking.
And I'd like them to drink non-alcoholic beers.
Right. And are we handing out pink wafers on the trains too, as per the church?
No, that's very silly.
OK, well...
Trains are not a place of worship, are they? They're a place of travel.
Well, you just said there's a culture of the trains that you want to protect.
There is a culture of the trains, but it's not the culture of the church. It's the culture of the trains. The culture of the trains. Enshrined with people like Thomas the Tank Engine and the railway children.
Ultimately, what you're saying is people should be allowed to choose.
Oh, Ishan, you see, you've been quite provocative in this section. You won me around with a very good joke. Do you tell that on stage? You should put that on stage.
I think that's very good. Well, there we are.
Well, I mean, that's how you end a segment. You end that with a really, really good joke. So thank you, Ishan, for your hot and spicy takeaway.
The hot and spicy takeaway terminates here.
Oh, stop it. Oh, very good, very good. If you're finding the adverts in this show annoying, remember you can skip them by signing up to our Patreon at patreon.com/nonsensored, where you'll get episodes without them and you'll be supporting the show. Finally, it was St. George's Day this week, which you probably didn't notice because the woke elites didn't want you to know about it. But luckily, Patriot, friend of the show and part-time MP Lee Anderson was here to celebrate with us. Let's take a listen. Lee Anderson, happy St. George's Day.
Oh, it's lovely to hear somebody say that, Harriet. Happy St. George's Day to you and to your loved ones and to all in your family.
Thank you so much. The Wokies couldn't take it from us, Lee. They couldn't take it from us.
It's very hard to find a place that does a good St. George's Day card, I think. And that is a travesty. We need to change that.
Yes. And I mean, I got producer Martin. I said, you need to go and get a St. George's cake. And he came back with a Battenberg.
Right. Yes. Well, there are some nice colours in a Battenberg. Why did you go for a Battenberg and not a proper English cake? Martin, well, on St. George's Day.
Well, yeah, I sort of thought when you slice it in half, there's the you get the sort of the cross, and yes, that cross is usually yellow and pink, but still, it was the closest I could do with the
better than Nike, I suppose.
No, I thought it was an absolute stain, to be honest. Yeah, look, it's not what St George's is about.
A lot of desecration of the flag, and this is a day when I don't want to talk about that. I don't want to think about that. I just want to think about St George, England, and St George.
Yeah. So, well, Leah, I guess I want to ask you, what does St George mean to you?
Well, I mean, what doesn't it mean to me, Harriet? Mm-hmm. I think it means to me freedom. It means meat. It means gravel. Wow. It means spam. It means Englishness. It means hope. It means power. It means England. It means a place that we used to have that we've lost now, if we're honest. And
yeah.
It means harking back to something that was better than it was.
That's so poetically.
Right. And
this is the thing, I get represented in the mainstream as somebody who is not poetic and not quite smart or not academic or anything like that. And
yeah.
I actually am quite. I'm quite smart.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I loved the actually before we move on, I do want to, when you know the tale of St George and the dragon.
Yeah.
What do you think today's dragon is? If St George was going to come here today and we go, St George, we need you, what dragon would he be slaying?
Well, I think a dragon sits on a hoard of gold. A dragon sits on valuables, and I think it's probably the Islamists who run London, to be honest.
Right. You know,
right. Okay.
Sadiq Khan is probably the Smaug of London.
Right.
Yes.
Gone for the Tolkien style dragon there.
Well, producer Martin, he's got a point. He's got a point. And you know, Smaug, he's got the voice of Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yes, he does.
And that's
in the films, yeah.
A lot like Sadiq Khan, isn't it?
Well, Sadiq Khan is very good at talking. I think he's probably...
Suspiciously so. I think we can all agree. Yeah. Suspiciously so.
I think there are other powers at play when it comes to Sadiq Khan talking. I think you can hear when I talk... I'm a normal man talking who's quite smart.
You're just a straightforward man who says,
saying,
give us a bacon sandwich, that kind of thing.
It's clear, exactly. When Sadiq talks, he's been controlled by Islamic dragons.
Wow.
I think that's clear.
Right.
Do you think, what do these Islamic dragons, what colour are they, do you reckon?
I don't think that's helpful. We don't necessarily need to go into the colour of the...
They're not, Harriet. They're not red and they're not white.
Wow.
Oh, well, yes.
Wow.
I suppose St. George was, he would have a problem with that, wouldn't he?
And St. George would slay any dragon that came near him. I mean, there's a reason there are no dragons now. You know, cause
St. George got them all.
Well, he got rid of them. He's like St. Patrick with the snakes in Ireland. He got rid of all the dragons in England. And do you know what? Sometimes, and this is maybe a controversial thing to say, I think maybe one dragon wouldn't be too bad now. Get rid of the troublemakers and then we slay that dragon now. But we don't have a dragon, so...
I don't think that's controversial. I just think that's incredibly brave.
Thanks, Harriet.
Yeah.
Thanks, yeah. It's nice to talk to someone who understands that, you know, this is our heritage, our history, and it can't be erased that a man killed a dragon. That's our history.
Now, Lee, I urge our listeners to, if they haven't seen it, you did a wonderful video about St. George's Day.
Oh, thanks.
And
it took about 46 takes, but it was worth it, I think.
Do you know what? I think so too. I think so too. And I just wonder, because you talk about culture and you talk about Shakespeare, and I mean, I'm a bit of a Shakespeare buff. I'm not going to lie to you, Lee. I mean, I used to imagine myself as Juliet, and I just wondered, what's your favourite Shakespeare?
Oh, well,
and why?
All of Shakespeare's Shakespeare is my favourite Shakespeare, because it's his birthday today on St George's Day. And,
the day of his death, I think it's...
quite crass to focus on that, actually. This is the day of celebration, Martin.
But
Producer Martin, that's quite negative.
It was just a tidbit. I mean, it's just... He probably wasn't born and died on the same day. It's just that the ones attributed to...
Today is not a day of work tidbits. It's a day of dragon slaying and Englishness. And,
right.
But Harry's right to talk about Shakespeare from Stratford-upon-Avon. What a man. Oh, my favourite is the one with the lions, Mufasa. What a character. You couldn't write that. Well, he did, obviously, but you couldn't.
I see what you're doing there, Lee. Very clever. Lee, to our listeners who can't tell, is referring to The Lion King, which was a take on Hamlet.
Yeah. Of course. Hamlet came first. Yeah. You know, I like that Macbeth because it makes Scottish people look stupid. What else?
Lee, I have something to say to you.
Oh, please. Yeah. Go
to be or not to be?
What's that?
That is the question.
Oh, yeah. And what does it mean? Sorry, I don't know if you cut out, but you just want to be or not to be.
I think I can deal with this. It's do you remember Simba and the dilemma that he had after Mufasa had fallen to the stampede of the buffalo at the hands of Scar? He had a tricky time, whether it was better to...
Is this the one who just couldn't wait to be king?
Yes, absolutely.
Yes. That's right. It's a very novel way of talking about Hamlet.
I think perhaps another question that I might throw at you, Lee, if you don't mind, is Hakuna Matata? Where do you stand on Hakuna Matata?
Look, I think that if you were to ask me in English, then probably we could have a conversation. But this is the problem, isn't it? Taking all these foreign phrases, foreign words, foreign stuff coming over here.
Mm.
And all I want is just to talk proper Shakespeare, how it was written with all the lions in it.
Yeah.
So Hakuna Matata is not part of what we're talking about.
It just means no troubles for the rest of your days.
I think that's problematic with our relationship with Ireland and Northern Ireland. I think there were some troubles. I don't quite...
Yeah, there's no need bringing Ireland into it, Producer Martin.
No, I didn't mean to.
I think that phrase feels woke, feels problematic, and the phrase I'd throw back at you is kill dragons, stay British.
Wow.
Right.
That's powerful. You're going to use that for reform, maybe, as your one of the taglines.
Reform? Of course, I'm part of reform now. Probably we will. We'll use that. A lot of things that I say end up being quite useful and used as taglines. So in a way, I sort of am the modern day Shakespeare. Obviously, I haven't said that. I sent out a thing to my mailing list and other people have said that. Yeah. I've not said that. I have said that now. And you should report it as if other people have said that.
We can do that. We do that all the time. We've got no problem doing that. Right. Well, at least I sometimes, Producer Martin gets a bit funny about it. But I'm a journalist, you know? I report what I hear.
Look, you're a good journalist. In integral. You've got a lot of integrity.
For legal reasons.
I've got a lot of integrity.
I think I do need to flag up that this is an entertainment show.
This is a problem.
What?
Every time... They always, the work left, bring in these foreign courts. This is not a legal matter. This is St. George's Day, and we're talking about St. George and being patriotic, all right?
Okay. Lee, do you have any favourite Georges that you'd like to celebrate along with St. George on this George's Day? Are there any you'd like to give it? Yes, other Georges that you
find yes, that's a nice way to end the interview, actually. Yes, inspirational
like
Georges, please.
I'll start with someone I don't want to celebrate, which is Curious George. I don't think we should be curious about anything. I think he left a lot of lessons that we shouldn't learn.
And banana skins as well, I think.
Exactly. Not grown in the UK, are they, Producer Martin? So I would say... Any George who loves Britain, loves me, has none of this woke nonsense, and wants to march down the street wearing a St. George's flag If your name is George, you're all right in my books.
Well, what a beautiful way to end this.
Unless
this
you're George
interview.
Ezra. I f***ing hate George Ezra.
Oh, right. Well, I mean... Right.
Yeah, okay.
Sing a song about an English city, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's very true. Well, Lee Anderson, I hope you continue your celebrations for St George's Day. Well, I know we will be doing so at Noncensored.
Thanks very much, Harriet. Have a lovely time. See you later. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Well, that's it for this episode. We'll be back next week. So in the meantime, like, subscribe, tell your friends, follow the Out of Context Noncensored Blue Sky account, and keep those questions coming to noncensoredpodcast@gmail.com. And join us on patreon.com/noncensored to get ad-free episodes, longer videos, bonus podcasts, and much, much more. With thanks to Rosie Holt, Brendan Murphy, Ishan Akbar, John Luke Roberts, Will C. Bag Montefiore, and Ed Morrish. I'm Harriet Langley Swindon, and we'll be back next week with more Non-Censored.